In today's episode, two helicopters collide in New Jersey, killing both pilots. And another helicopter crashes while descending from Mount Kilimanjaro following a climbing trip, killing five people. Also ahead, more news and your feedback.
Dreaming
John C. Dvorak, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I got new stories and new things that have happened. Of course. The crazy life that I live.
It's Florida.
Oh, anyway. You ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Let me make sure our levels are good. Checking. That's good. This is on. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's already the 20th of January, 2026.
Let's start that again. I didn't have the recording.
Moving along.
I messed it up. Why is this not working? Seriously.
What?
I don't know. My pointer's not working here. What's happening?
The battery's dead.
It's on the wrong sequence. It's supposed to be here. Okay, hang on a second. This is not
working. It's upside down.
I don't know. Something's not working.
Nothing worse than having a mouse upside down.
That work? That works. The home button. There we go. Now it works. Is that home though? Wow, that was weird. That was definitely weird. All right. Sorry about that. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak once again.
Yeah, and I'm Andrew Horowitz. Hi!
20th of January. We're running through the month.
Yeah.
Of 2026. It's going to be a fast year.
It's going to be a fast year. It is. It's going to be some good times, good things. You know, I had I don't want to call it a procedure done. My wife's like, you know, you got those like dark spots from tanning, you know, on your face. You should get this thing done with the laser. I'm like, okay, I've had that done before years ago. I'll do it again if you want. It's called BBL. So I look up this BBL.
What's DBL stand for?
BBL, like B as in big Larry. I look it up and I go, show me before and after pictures of BBL. And all I get is these images on the internet of these butts. These
Brazilian butt lift.
A Brazilian butt lift. I'm like, I'm not getting that. What is this BBL thing? I'm not getting the Brazilian butt lift. I guess it's also broadband laser, maybe. I guess that's what it stands for. So I got that done yesterday. It looked like that I put my head in a toaster.
Yeah, you would get burned. It's burning. It just burns it. This is a chemical. They do it with liquid nitrogen too. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it was a fun event. So anyway, I'm sitting here right now with my face a little bit peeling and this goop on it right now. That's what I'm living with. And I went out today. Everybody's like, "Oh, looks like you got tan in Mexico." I'm like, "No, not exactly." Tomorrow will look worse, I'm sure. Anyway, here we go again. We got tariffs. We got retaliatory tariffs. We got grudging tariffs. We have mad at you tariffs. And then we have people selling bond. A lot of things to talk about. And right now going on at this moment, although they may be sleeping right now, or partying for that matter, is the Davos Economic Confab, where the elitists are meeting and supposedly making the rules for the rest of us.
Yeah, and skiing a lot.
The skiing, they're eating, they're drinking, they're having cigars, they're talking, they're
hookers.
Oh, hookers and blow?
What do you think?
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
There's always usually some prime time story about the hookers in Davos.
Don't you think that after the whole Epstein file things, they're being a little bit more careful?
Well, okay, so they'll dress down a little bit.
Mm. This is my sister.
I mean, you don't go to Davos for what?
Oh, they got a hobnob. All the big mucky mucks are there. Everybody that likes to be in front of a camera is there. All the Bloombergs, the CNBCs, the NBCs, all of them have their booths set up. You go bounce from place to place to place to place to tell them all about what you think. It's like social media for those that could be asked to come on.
Can't figure it out.
Right. We're going to talk about suicide coaches tonight and hedge funds. Finally, a good year. Now, here we are, as you mentioned, Tuesday, the 20th of January, and I feel like a broken record because guess what? Silver and gold are at all-time highs again. Big moves today on silver.
Yeah, silver's on its way.
On its way. It's gone. It's catapulted. It's rocket-shipped. It's
heading to 200.
It's quite an amazing thing to watch as all of the things that happen. And now I'm starting to get calls from clients about silver, which is not always a good thing.
No, they could have probably called a week ago or two or a month. If you call a year ago, then you got something. You got a client that spotted that early. But it's only recent they figured out that they don't have enough silver to supply demand. It's a supply demand thing.
It is pretty amazing that it took this long to figure out something that seemingly everybody says was so obvious. Was it so obvious?
No. What was obvious?
That there wasn't enough silver to supply for all the industrial use, the technology use, and all that. That silver was a better conductor.
But there was also a major breakthrough in silver's usage. In the silver carbon anode for lithium ion batteries, which would make the battery last pretty much forever.
Yeah, and the lower heat and the conductivity.
It does a couple of things. There's no dendrites, and it makes the battery last, thus the battery doesn't fall apart or catch on fire, and it makes it so it can charge like 10 times faster than it can already charge. It's just a huge deal. So everybody's going to say Samsung has this invention. It's a patent. But everyone's going to license it, and you're going to end up with all these batteries with these with silver in them. And it's going to just drain the silver supply.
Which is reason why.
Which is already drained. It's pre-drained.
It's pre-drained. So now they have to just keep on going after. Plus, it's also a precious metal in that it has a place in the system for when times are there's no mystery why silver and gold are going up right now. It's silver has multiple functions. Gold is also, but silver has multiple and some very, very newly found function and capabilities and use rationale. And at the same time, gold and silver though are used as a place to find calm in a potential storm. And that's why the central banks are buying them up so readily. So both those things happening. We had a big sell-off today on the heels of, this is the day after Martin Luther King Day when markets in the United States were closed. But over the weekend, Trump decided to throw some new tariffs up. You know, I said, you know, you guys, you eight countries or so, and we'll get into the details of who they are. You're not following along with the game plan here. We want Greenland. That's it. I want it. There's a great meme. There was a lady, kind of cartoonish, and the back of Trump's head sitting at a table. It was kind of a young Trump. And the lady says, young Trump is taking his fork and his spoon. He's trying to go after some food. And the lady says, the mother says, "No Greenland until you finish your Venezuela." So
there were protests all over the country today because it's the anniversary of Trump's.
Were they wearing the pussy hats?
No, they were just. It was funny. Mimi pointed this out. She was driving around the area, and I went out to go to the post office, and they were there. There's two places in the area, El Cerrito, that have where these protesters show up. And she made the point of saying there's not one protester in Berkeley, the entire town of Radical Berkeley, but the El Cerrito, where there's all these retirees, they're all out. And I took a few photos, and they're all retirees. They're all in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and maybe older. And with holding and yelling and screaming, and there's probably maybe 100 of them, quite a few actually, for a small town. And one of the big signs that cracked me up was "Hands off Greenland."
and Greenlanders were wearing the MAGA hats.
And so, yes, the Greenlanders love the idea. But so, in other words, there's some retired old woman in El Cerrito, California, is just concerned as hell that she has to come out and protest with a sign that says "Hands off Greenland." I'm telling you, I laughed for at least 10 minutes.
Well, you know,
so silly.
Do you know what the MAGA hats stand for in Greenland?
What?
Make America go away. That's what they have. The Make America Go Away.
I've seen that. I've watched the YouTubers that managed to go there, and the Greenlanders would like the idea. The Danish people have not treated the Greenlanders very well. They've sterilized them. There was a sterilization program until 1995. The population of Greenland dropped from 150,000 to about 60 today, no thanks to the sterilization program that was not welcome. And they've done nothing for the Greenland economy. They don't like Denmark. If anyone really did some real research on this, the Greenlanders would love to be a colony.
You know, it's interesting. What I thought you were going to go after and what Mimi was really thinking about when she was talking about the noticing these elderly people was that they were paid for. That's why that group of people were out. That maybe, I don't know, you want to say Soros, whoever it is. Whoever was stirring the pot was...
You mean getting a little extra spending cash?
Yeah, was putting money, saying, "Hey, you know, we'll give you $50. Here's a sign. Walk around."
Yeah, that could be.
You know, we'll close the restaurant and open up at 4 o'clock for dinner for you for a week. You know, fight the early birds.
It wouldn't surprise me, but there was nobody in Berkeley protest. They're supposed to take the day off. There was some movement to do that.
Yeah.
The 20th. Oh, take the day off. We're all going to take the day off. We're going to show them.
Yep.
And we're going to make the economy grind to a halt. And, of course, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to end up talking about Netflix tonight as well, where the saga continues, and Netflix earnings came out after the bell tonight. So there's some surprise going on there. But let's talk about Davos. I want to talk about this. This is the elitists. They come, they sit, they're in their furs, they have their pipes, they're, you know, going to solve the world problems. The Bilderbergs and the Kennedys are all there doing their thing. So over the years, what's happened is that the conversations that we see happening by these people, not necessarily the hedge fund managers or the people that are in the actual game, but the others, the people who, you know, like a Larry Summers would have been there if it wasn't for his shenanigans.
Not welcome. Hiding.
Or some of these others, even Ray Dalio, I mean, God bless him, you know, Bridgewater. But some of these guys that try to push their ideals and ideas on the public constantly, And some of them are good. I get it. But there's that group. You know what I'm talking about, right? The group that's always pushing their ideals. And
you do.
You know, even a Bill Gates, you know, these names, they're all there. We have Trump is going, Xi Jinping supposedly going, not going, Narendra Modi not going from India. Zelensky's going. Why is he going? What does he have to do with the economic outlook of the world? Is, I guess, maybe something?
Absolutely. Well, he just wants to get out of the country.
Oh, and
skiing, he needs to go some skiing.
A couple of things. First of all,
he got killed in Ukraine.
He and Jensen Huang, can they find a new outfit? This is like the days when, pretty much when Steve Jobs would come out in the black turtleneck and the black pants all the time.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, that's all they wore. They had to be in that. That's the Steve Jobs costume.
It was a costume.
It was a costume. Jensen Huang does it with the leather jacket. You know, and so does Zelensky with his mock military outfit.
Right.
You wouldn't recognize him. Literally, if Zelensky came in wearing a suit or looking in I don't know, in a short sleeve shirt, something different, you could walk down the street, you'd never know it was him.
Well, maybe that's his goal.
Maybe that's what it is. So when he goes into hiding, be like, looking for the short guy with the black kind of rough sweater on. Anybody say, nope. Just the guy in the green sweater over there, but that's not him, is it? Kushner's going, Bessent's going, little Marco's going. He's going everywhere. Marco Rubio, who's getting, he's got a lot going on. He gained the trust of Trump, didn't he?
He what?
He gained the trust of Trump.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Yep.
Well, Trump needed a guy like him. I've said this on the No Agenda show, which is our podcast that runs every Thursday and Sunday, sir. Today's Tuesday. So, you've listened to it occasionally.
Occasionally. I love it. The best.
We talked about this on the show that Marco is set up to be the king of South America. I mean, he speaks fluent Western Hemisphere style Spanish, which is slightly different than what they speak in Europe. And he can go down there and talk the talk in the native language with all these South American country people, except for Brazil.
Well, Brazil speaks Portuguese.
Yeah.
Which is confusing, by the way. Why is that?
Similar, but not the same.
Right. So Larry Fink is the interim co-chair of the group, the World Economic Forum, which is the overseer of this seminar.
I like the way he worked his way into that job. Oh, yeah.
Well, he got it because some guy was taken out on accusations of wrongdoing.
Yeah, I wonder who orchestrated that.
Well, it's Larry Fink. Larry Fink. I wonder. Let's ask Larry. Larry. And again, the CEOs that you would think of, Jensen Huang, Sanjay Nadella, you know, these guys, the guys that love the limelight are there. Plus, many of these people know that if they get into somehow see Trump, whatever they need and whatever they say will come true. That's how it works, doesn't it?
I will see.
So, due out Wednesday. There's a bunch of reports from the World Economic Forum, a big report that they're going to produce and then they're going to share and everybody's going to talk about. It's about the geopolitical confrontation being the top concern this year. Each year they come out with the top concerns by all these fellas and gals that are supposedly the biggest, the brightest, the smartest in the world, most connected. You have things like rising inflation is a big issue. Economic downturn's a big issue. Asset bubble's a big issue. High debt burden's a big issue. You remember a few years ago, it was like climate, global warming, electric grid, alternative energy. Now it's just asset bubbles, high debt burdens. There's a chart here that I thought was pretty cool that now shows their the global risk perception of the survey that's going to come out. One of the things that's going to come out. This is out on the 14th.
This is a good chart.
Isn't this great?
CNBC, yeah.
So did you notice they changed their logo, by the way? CNBC?
Well, of course, they got spun off, didn't they?
They got thrown out. thrown out, seems to me. They got to be taken out of the whole deal. Yeah. So go through this. Just hit some of the high spots that you're looking at when you just glance at this. By the way, you can see this over on DH Unplugged, episode number 787, under the show notes over on dhunplugged.com. This table chart infographic.
Yeah, it's a good one. Everyone should have. Now, this is the thing. The two top items are the ones that were about Trump. Geo-economic confrontation is number one. That means tariffs. And do what we tell you to do, kind of thing. The second one, though, which is being cropped up a lot in the conversation, yak, 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 they keep bringing it up, misinformation/disinformation. And this is an attack on the social networks and AI and all the rest of it, because what they mean by doing something about misinformation and disinformation is, let's get our messaging focused on what we want people to think is true.
Right. Everything else is fake news.
Everything else is fake news, but what we say.
Yeah.
So they're very concerned about getting back to that, which is not possible anymore. The rest of it, like societal polarization and extreme weather events. I don't know. The extreme weather events seems like a stretch.
So there's a 2-year list, and there's a short-term 2-year list, and a long-term 10-year list. I think this is pretty interesting, though. I think that we're back to the long-term. Number one is extreme weather events. The number four on the short term is also extreme weather events. So everybody's worried about earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, bad cold snaps, hot snaps, the whole thing.
Yeah, and this, of course, is right on the heels of James O'Keefe actually being at the WEF. He's the guy with the hidden camera that goes around and gets people to say stupid stuff, usually has a girl posing as batting her eyes and getting guys to say stuff. He's already got a bunch of people saying that the weather is being rigged by geoengineering already. And a whole bunch of people have come out with that. And this will be in the news for the next couple of days.
So we're seeding the clouds with various chemicals or some other kind of methodology to change the weather.
Yeah, so you can have extreme weather events.
So to create extreme weather events or to...
Yeah, yeah.
Why would we want to create extreme weather events?
So you can use it as leverage for political stuff.
And control the masses. And behind all this is Al Gore? That's what I'm going to hear next?
No, he hasn't gotten... I don't think Al Gore's there, but Al Gore is definitely a party to it, I would guess. Either that or he's just as dumb as he sounds.
It's funny because this is the second time this week I've heard about the cloud seeding. And there's a great show to watch. I can't remember the name of it, but it's with a train, a perpetual train. I'll get it in a second.
You're talking about the movie?
Yeah, what is it called?
I was thinking about that movie.
It's a cold one. It's Ice Tracker, Cold Tracker.
Yeah, the whole thing. I'll think. It's funny. I can't think of the name either.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Snowpiercer. There's a series, but the movie is better. Especially when
the series sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
The series is no good.
No good. Not compared to the movie.
But the movie Snowpiercer is a fun movie.
Yeah.
Especially when they get to the point where it turns out they're all eating bugs. I mean, that was the topper. Spoiler alert.
Every movie that has that, the bugs, everybody loves. You know, what was the other one? No, that was Soylent Green. Remember that one?
I was eating people.
You were eating yourself, yeah. Soylent Blue.
Soylent Green, great film.
Yep, for great film. Out there. That was what, 70s?
If you haven't seen it, I mean, I don't know how anyone could have gotten this far in life, even if you're 10, and not see Soylent Green.
Yeah, Soylent Green was a good one. Anyway, so some interesting things here to check out. That's what's going on right now. We're going to hear about this very much. Nick, I think tomorrow Trump is going to talk. One of the big issues is he going to continue on with the pressure campaign with Greenland. This is a big thing that's going on right now, and it has to do with the markets very much. The idea, of course, we know, is that Greenland is strategically important for military, for security, and for other of the natural resources. Now, here's what's interesting. Trump promised 100% probability, like a guarantee, that it will impose the tariffs they talked about if he doesn't get Greenland. Tariffs starting on February 1st at 10%, shoot up to 25% on June 1st on Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and Finland. So supposedly in response to the EU allies moving troops into Greenland.
So again, I don't understand. Explain this to me.
Yeah.
He's trying to get Greenland from its owner, Denmark.
Yeah.
What's the point of the tariffs on all these other guys? Are they pressure
NATO.
Points?
Yes, NATO. It's NATO that's going to pressure him out. Right? Isn't that all the NATO countries? Most of them?
I don't think there's a lot of countries in NATO that aren't on the list of people he's going to tariff.
These are the ones that have said publicly, well, let me go one step further. Macron, who, by the way, was talking to Davos today in a very weird set of sunglasses. You need to take a look at that. Like blue, giant blue reflector sunglasses.
Yeah, supposedly his wife punched him in the face and he's got two black eyes.
Oh, God. Again?
Yeah.
Didn't that happen seriously once before or something?
I'm just telling you what I heard.
So Macron was all pissy and, oh, you know, we're not going to allow this and this is going to this and, you know, we can't stand for this. He was like the forefront guy when these tariffs come out. So what happens next? Trump says, you know what? By the way, on top of these other tariffs, 200% tariffs threatened in on champagne and on wines coming into the country. 200%.
Yeah, luckily I have a cellar full of wine. I can wait it out.
So, but that's where I think... Look, I don't want to belabor this point because today was supposed to be a day that potentially the Supreme Court was going to come out with a decision on the tariffs. They did not. There's some other dates that may be coming up that they will, but right now they're still not. These are the kind of things that I think hurts his case because the a retribution type of tariff, when somebody says something you don't like, doesn't help his cause in trying to say the tariffs are for certain security measures, etc. We'll see.
Ah, good point. I agree.
Yep. Now we have the new Board of Peace in Gaza. These are all the things that are disrupting the markets right now. Today in particular. You know, NASDAQ down 2.3%. Worst day since like October. Dow Jones down 850 points. S&P down 1.9%. And interestingly, equal weighted S&P was only down 1.4% or so. So it shows that some of the big leaders led things down. But on the Board of Peace, which is the Board of Peace of the Gaza, Marco Rubio, special envoy Steve Witkoff, and British Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Tony Blair, and son-in-law Jared Kushner, all on this. Supposedly Putin was also invited to be on the board. The purpose of the board? To officially, the board is mandated to promote stability, restore dependable and lawful governance, and secure enduring peace in areas affected or threatened by the conflict. So we have another place there. That's kind of interesting. And those are the key issues right now that need to be resolved a bit. Like, what's going to happen in Gaza? I don't think we're really worried about Taiwan. From a market standpoint, the Japanese yen at 157, 158, and the Japanese bond, the 40-year hit, 4%, the highest in history. And the reality of the 10-year is still way off from where it should be, considering the financial condition of Japan. And with a snap election that's going on, the current administration, if they get that, I think it's a week and a half or two, if they get the confirmation again, the yen is expected to weaken significantly from here. Talk about 170, 180 on the yen.
Why?
Because they're pretty much not balancing a budget again. And they're going to cut taxes on a few different things. Let's see, I thought I had something on this here somewhere. Maybe that was China. China. Yeah, there's no... there's a bunch of things happening within Japan that this particular this prime minister is said to be pretty stimulative, and the weakening of the yen is a probability. And then the bond vigilantes are coming in and selling the bonds. You would think that in an environment where the Japanese economy is relatively strong, considering where it's been and how it's on a trend stronger, that the yen would actually come up in value. Or, I'll tell you something else. In an environment that has geopolitical uncertainty, like we saw with gold and silver rising like crazy, you would think the yen being one of the safe haven currencies, U.S. dollar, yen, and the Swedish kroner? What am I thinking? No. Frank. Kroner, yeah. Frank. Kroner. Swiss franc.
Swiss franc.
That's the one of the other ones too. You would think, though, but no, they're weakening the yen dramatically. Real concern about what's going to happen there. Back to the Widowmaker trade again. Trying to bet against the yen going up. You know, getting stronger. Saks Fifth Avenue or Saks, remember that good store? Do you have a shop there?
I used to go to the outlets, Saks, and I've been to the Saks in New York City. I always thought it was too expensive, but the outlet store was quite reasonable, and they had good stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I've called Fifth on something, I forgot what it was called.
Off Fifth. So they're entering into Chapter 11. Problems really got worse after they agreed to purchase, as we call it in my family, needless markup. You know that store?
Yeah, we had one in San Francisco.
Yeah. Also known as Neiman Marcus. But needless markup was bought. And now, to add some more.
Yeah, that's a funny story. Every time I went in there, it was never really that busy.
Well, can't be. Nobody's standing at the register because they can't afford to pay. I looked at a sport jacket one time. I'm like, what is this? Is this a serial number or is this the price? You know?
Yeah. Well, that was it. Yes. In fact, just a shirt, a men's dress shirt.
It's like $500.
It's impossible. Yeah, you couldn't. I don't know how anyone bought any of that stuff.
Yep. That's why they.
I don't think I ever bought anything in my entire life from that store.
It's too expensive. I think many years ago, if I remember the story correctly, yeah, I think I bought a suit there. It was like $1,500 for the suit back when, right? And I put it on. It fit great at the time. It was a little bit big, but that was the style, right? It was a really good material that's laid on you really nicely. Got it altered there and all that. I come home. I tell the wife. She's apoplectic. Not in a good way, by the way. So I had that suit for a number of years, you know, 3-4 years, whatever. And the kids would always call it, "Dad, are you wearing your $1 million suit?" That's what they called it all the time. The $1 million suit. What are you wearing? You're wearing your $1 million suit? I'm like, yeah, I can put that on tonight. I can put that on for this.
Who is the designer?
I don't know. It was some Italian dude. I don't remember. It was years ago. It was definitely a name, though. But it was silly.
Well, the Armani suits from that, I think you're hinting at it, were always loose fitting like that.
Yeah, maybe it was Armani.
They looked great.
Yeah. Yoga Boss was always an expensive one, but that was a slim cut. And I've never been that. For a minute. It was a 12 slim. Went right to Husky from there. Went from a 12 slim to a Husky. I tell you this story. My mother brought me into a Sears one time. Gained a couple of pounds when I was younger. We go into the Husky department in Sears. I'm like, what's this? I was like, I don't know, 13 or 12 or maybe 14, whatever it was, 11. I go, what is Husky? She goes, oh, that's for really strong boys. I'm like, oh, great. The Husky department at Sears.
You got buffaloed.
Yep. Amazon has filed an objection on Saks Global, their bankruptcy, on the grounds it could harm creditors and push the tech company further down the repayment pecking order. See, what happened was that when Saks bought Needless Markup in December of 2024, Amazon invested $475 million, which now they say is essentially worthless. So Amazon is threatening drastic remedies if Saks doesn't heed its concerns, including the appointment of an examiner or a trustee. Now, you're probably thinking, why the hell would Amazon do such a thing and invest $475 million in Saks?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, at the time they thought that Saks would start selling its products on Amazon's website, and the tech company, Amazon, was going to offer technology and logistics expertise. But on the turn, Amazon's attorneys now say that Saks continuously failed to meet its budgets, burned through hundreds of millions of dollars in less than a year, and ran up additional hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid invoices owed to its retail partners. So I don't think there's any surprise here with the, you know, the companies like even the Dillard's, the Kohl's, you know, these companies, Macy's, they're doing all sorts of things to try to pretend things are okay.
It's pathetic.
Yep. So it's going to be a big
the era of the big department American. The overseas they're still doing well, but the days of the big American department stores are over.
Yeah. They're now pickleball and padel complexes.
But what happened?
What happened was that I'll tell you what happened. One of the big things, I tell you what happened because I did a little bit of research into this. And I was reading a bunch about this because back in the day, where did you go for a social outing? Went to the mall. As a kid, you grew up in the malls.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of mall kids.
They Your parents drove you to kids. The malls. You hung out with your friends and walked the mall. Your parents are like, I'll pick you up in 2 hours. You're like, okay. They went around, bought stuff in the malls. It was a meet and a greet place. Where do people meet now?
Online.
Yep. So that killed the whole structure of what it was. Then on top of that, you had the situation where people got used to buying online. No longer did they need to try on things because you can get 14 different things from Amazon, try them all on, and send them all back except one if you want. Free of charge.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So the change in dynamics of how people not only shopped, because the mall was not necessarily a place to go shopping. It was. But it was a place to first socialize. And you go to the food courts, you spend the day.
A lot of food court stuff. Yep. Mrs. Fields cookies are stinking up the place.
Yep. And Andy's pretzels.
Cinnabon would be in some of these places. Yeah. And it stink up the place.
Oh, yeah. And you could always just walk around in circles and get that bourbon chicken sample over and over again.
Yeah, bourbon chicken.
Which still nobody knows how it's made. It's a mystery how good the bourbon chicken in the mall was always delicious. It was dark meat too, by the way. That's why.
Yeah, that's why it was good.
Yeah. Nobody knew. Like, I'll try that. I hate dark meat. Oh, try this. Oh, that's delicious.
Yeah, the dark meat, white meat phenomenon, what you just described, is always mystified me. Dark meat is so much tastier.
So much tastier. To cook it and work with it in the kitchen is kind of a night and day experience. Right? White meat is clean, white, very little fat. Dark meat, if you get like just the thigh, just a boneless thigh, let's say, it's a lot of fat that you got to either cut off or recognize what it is.
Yeah, there's some issues with its preparation compared to a chicken breast.
Yeah. A dry chicken breast versus a
dry chicken breast. Yeah, get the right adjective.
Yeah, dry chicken breast versus a very nice, moist, tasty thigh. Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting how thighs are less expensive.
Yeah, people want, I don't know what it is.
They like their dry chicken. Well, let's talk about suicide coaches, shall we? Have you heard about this phrase?
No.
This year, you really saw something pretty horrific, which is the AI models becoming suicide coaches. That's what Mark Benioff is talking about when he was interviewed by Sarah Eisen at the World Economic Forum's flagship conference in Davos, Switzerland. Now, this is the same guy in 2018. He was all over the social media is bad for you. You know, social media should be treated like a health issue. Should be regulated like cigarettes. They're addictive. They're not good for you. Now, this is the CEO of Salesforce. I don't know what his angle is, unless he's being...
Yeah, what is his angle?
I don't know if he's being intellectually honest with this, or there's some kind of angle. I don't know. Like, if this is real down to earth.
Well, he does have a lot of hospital wings named after himself. So he does have a health nut, even though if you've ever met him, He doesn't seem like a guy who's a health nut.
Are you talking about his body size?
Well, he's a
bigger fella.
Yeah, he's a husky. And so, so it's possible that he's just being a good guy.
Yeah. He said bad things were happening all over the world because social media was fully unregulated, he said. And now you're kind of seeing that play out again with artificial intelligence. I guess there's been some trend that people get on their AI and like, help me commit suicide. How would I commit suicide? What's the easiest way to commit suicide? Here, I got a green pill, a blue pill, and a red pill. What should I take? If what would somebody take? What should somebody not take if they didn't want to die or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, it's terrible. Let's go over to China for a minute here. China in 2025, the new yuan, loans of 16.27 trillion, which is the lowest since 2018. So, what they're saying here is that the loans that are taken out for things like business development, mostly residential, the lowest since 2018. That's obviously pre-COVID. Even though December it beat, the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, announcing targeted monetary policy easing again. So they're talking about from the asset side amid the property market adjustment, which let me translate. From the asset side with amid the property market adjustment, the housing crash, that says housing crash. The private sector, including households and firms, showed insignificant willingness to add leverage. Translate that. The people are unwilling to take out more debt because they're under so much that is strangling them. Next sentence, while government bond issuance was ramped up to stabilize leverage and the economy, the government is issuing more debt on top of things to try to loan out to people that they're not taking because they're full. They just can't eat any more of the debt. So, money that used to go into real estate now, so this is not happening. They're taking out of the real estate, they're getting out of their deals, and they're now repositioning those into risk assets and stocks, gold as well. That's why we're seeing what's happen. The appetite for real estate, which was the number one thing that Chinese people bought for decades.
Yeah, they would buy some middle-class Chinese would have two or three homes.
Yep.
Five.
That was their savings. That was their retirement. That was their nest egg.
The 401k.
Yeah. So Chinese authorities tightened rules on margin financing, signaling this unease over the pace of the rally. So they're really concerned now that all of a sudden money's being utilized and borrowed for stocks. So they're trying to increase that. Under the new rule, investors must now provide margin equal to the full value of the securities they buy on credit, up from a previous 80% threshold. Kind of interesting. So this is a whole big issue. They're trying to cool off this market. So one of the problems that China has is because a recent report came out talking about the population in China. And remember, they had a one-child policy for some time?
Yeah, they've never really recovered from it.
They didn't because they tried to restart it, and already you ingrained all this and made people comfortable with the notion of, one child. It was okay. It was societal. It's just from a societal standpoint, it was very, well established. And they went from the number one populated country in the world to number two, behind India. 1.4 billion.
I used to go to China quite a lot, and I would go into the some of the cities. You'd go to these malls. Talking about malls. And there were a lot of these couples, which were all it was still during the One China policy, and they'd have their one child with them in a well behaved. By the way, the Chinese kids are always well behaved in public, and you could see that there's a mom and a dad. And the Chinese normally like to have a lot of kids, but they had the one child because that's all they could have, and you could just see that the kid was spoiled to an extreme.
And
the right thing, the right, little.
But they were both spoiled, but well behaved.
Yeah, well, they were well behaved, whether spoiled or not. I think, I could be wrong. Maybe it was they were more well behaved, but they were super spoiled. And that the spoiling of a bunch of, you know, only children, I don't see how that could benefit the culture. I just didn't see. I was always kind of shaking my head about it.
So you're thinking that more than one child would have been better for the, in the long haul, for the kids.
Yeah.
And the family
culture.
Yeah,
for the Chinese culture.
Right. Well, they ended that. And after the one child policy, now the new government is pushing towards more births, right? So the birth rate in 2025 was 5.63 children per 1,000 people. Obviously, there's no such thing as a 0.63 of a child, but it's the birth rate. It's the average amount of births per 1,000 people. Right? It's the lowest on record since 1949. So what the government is doing is they're trying to promote having kids. What are they doing? They're doing things like cash subsidies. They're taxing a high tax on condoms.
Wow, that's kind of a non-traditional way.
Very non-traditional way, right?
It's very funny.
Eliminating a tax on matchmakers and eliminating tax on daycare centers. So they're doing everything they can there.
Yeah, well, you know, you get the pendulum going in one direction, and you just start a phenomenon, change the culture, which this did, and you end up with, oh, no, I don't want a bunch of kids.
Why don't they just give away tequila? That'll do it.
Yeah.
Give everybody, you know, six oysters a week and a bottle of tequila. That should do it. With the worm or the mezcal. Anyway, bank earnings, generally pretty good. We saw a lot of bank earnings come out many of them, you know, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, the list goes on. Capital One. Capital One had a bit of a problem after earnings due to the fact that the 10% max credit card interest rate that's being proposed and being, that's last week's news though. I guess we're on this week's news already, right? That was so last week. Yield curve is helping out the banks in a big way, right? The steepening yield curve. Where the differential, the net interest margin that they earn as the differential between the loans and the CDs or the money in, money out. Goldman saw profit jump about 12% from a year earlier, from $4.62 billion, or about $14 a share, on gains across all its capital markets businesses. Morgan Stanley reported fourth quarter results that exceeded Wall Street, also on the back of a strong revenue from its wealth management business. So they went kind of different directions, by the way. You know, Merrill Lynch, which was bought by Bank of America, has a big wealth management business. Morgan Stanley, huge, years ago, really went full barrel into the wealth management business. And as market, they're susceptible to market swings. As the markets move up, obviously, you know, they do well. They just get the benefit of higher fees on a higher asset base. So that's going on. Fed, you want to talk about the Fed? What's going on there? The handicapping of who's going to be the next Fed chair?
Yeah, what's the latest on this?
It looks like Hassett's out. Hassett said, you know, I agree with President Trump when he said last week that maybe Hassett's better in the current position he's in. And Hassett, you know, I think he's right. Maybe President Trump is right. What a freaking what a brown nosing sap!
Brown nosing sap.
I mean, I got to tell you, with this particular commentary from him, where he said, "I think I agree with President Trump that I should stay in my position," I believe that he would be a horrible pick for Fed chair.
Well, I thought it was going to be a horrible pick anyway.
Right, with an ill-fitting collar.
Yeah, you got the collar. Yeah, because you said, right. The 6th size neck he doesn't have.
It's a size 14 neck with a size 18 collar. Now, the front runners are going to be Rick Rieder and Kevin Warsh.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
Rick Rieder's interesting. He runs trillions of dollars of bonds at BlackRock. Smart guy.
So a BlackRock guy. Oh, great.
Now, I don't think that will go, but Warsh is an interesting play. If Warsh can kiss some serious ass from now till then and stay the line and talk about possible rate cuts and things of that nature, but yet be a very focused Fed official kind of guy, I think he'd be a very good pick. He's experienced. He's smart. And by the way, all of a sudden, Trump says that he's not going to be firing. He's not going to be firing Powell.
Why would he fire Powell at this point? He's like you had to wait a month and a half, two months. He's gone anyway.
Yeah,
it would be idiotic.
Maybe wants Powell to resign. I don't know.
Powell's not going to resign either.
Yeah. All right, inflation. I don't know if
you
we know, talked.
He picked Powell in the first place.
Oh, I thought that was Biden. Overlooked. We talked about that 100 times. No.
Yeah, and it's galling that he picks a guy, and the guy stays in office through Biden. So because he didn't quit under Biden in a huff, he decides he's no good. But he's the one who picked him. It's just beyond me.
The whole thing is weird that he didn't. He's cut rates three times, in a market that probably didn't need the rate cuts, or an environment that didn't need the rate cuts. Who was talking about a 1%? Somebody's talking about a 1%. Howard Lutnick was talking about a 1% cut. All these things, you know, are interesting, but the fact is we still have inflation. Consumer price index increased 0.3% in December. Food rents were the main drivers of the inflation. Food prices surged 0.7%, the equivalent of 8.4% if you analyze it. So there is definitely, egg prices down. By the way, if any economist comes to me and talks to me ever about egg prices, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Egg prices.
It is the dumbest thing to talk about egg prices coming down, 50, 60% when we knew during the time that we saw egg prices move up, which, by the way, egg prices are not a significantly important part